Good evening. So this is the famous story of Thomas, Doubting Thomas in the Gospel. It's the famous story. And unfortunately, though, it sometimes we forget what happens at the beginning of the Gospel, which is actually a much more important story. If last Sunday was the story of what happened to Jesus at the resurrection, what happens at the beginning of this Gospel is what happens to us. And it is the most important gospel of the year because it deals with how we react. So it begins with the disciples are in a locked room. They're in a locked room because they are afraid of the crowd. The crowd had just crucified Jesus. They had just crucified him, and they're still kind of on the rampage for all of Jesus' followers. So they're hiding. They're actually hiding in the same room where they celebrated the Last Supper. And then they have word, they have news that Jesus has risen from the dead. And he's on his way to meet them. And they're not looking forward to it. You and I would be looking forward to it because we recognize we're looking back on this event. But at that time, they didn't know how Jesus would react. What is their memory? What is their last memory of Jesus? It was them running away, betraying him, leaving him alone, abandoning him. And now Jesus has resurrected and he's coming back. Is he angry? Is he upset? Does he want revenge? I mean, that would be the natural, normal thing to think. Perhaps you can think back to some time in your life when someone hurt you in a very serious way. They betrayed you, they abandoned you, they hurt you in some profound way. Maybe they got you angry. Maybe you wanted to get back at them in some way. Maybe you were the cause of it. Maybe somebody is mad at you. Sometimes people can hold grudges for decades, for years. People just never get over that anger. They're just mad all the time. So it makes sense that the disciples would have that door locked for fear of the crowd and for fear of Jesus. And then amazingly, as it says in the beginning of this gospel, Jesus arrives inside the room. He has a glorified body now from the resurrection, so he's not bound by locked doors. And he arrives inside the room, and he doesn't wait to reveal his feelings, because the very first thing he says is, "I'm going to get you guys now." He doesn't say that. He says, "Peace be with you." That must have been a shock. They must have been stunned at that. That was a tremendous surprise. "Peace be with you," he says again. Several times he says, "Peace be with you." Jesus is not interested in punishment of his disciples, but what he is interested in is a changed life, to go in a different direction, to repent, to change whatever behaviors got you in trouble in the first place, and to make a difference and change in a new way. And that's why this Sunday is called Divine Mercy Sunday. It means that our Lord's main interest is to bring mercy to us, not judgment. So what is mercy? Well, mercy means that you are guilty, that you actually did something wrong. If you were innocent, then you seek justice because you shouldn't be in trouble. You are innocent, so you seek justice. But if you are guilty, then you seek mercy. Mercy implies that we actually did the wrong things, but God is not interested in our punishment. He's not interested in punishing us. He's interested simply in changing our ways and moving on to a new life. So remember, when Jesus arrives in that locked room, he is proactive. He is the one who takes the first step. He says, "Peace be with you." So that's the meaning of this painting. In the 1930s, there was a Polish nun named Sister Faustina in the city of Kharkov. She lived in the 1930s, which was between World War I and World War II, in Poland, in a place of tremendous hatred. Communism was on its ascendancy. Germany was in Nazi Germany. There was just tremendous hatred in the world. People were hurting each other in tremendous ways. And she had a vision of Jesus with this image that we see here, called the image of divine mercy. And the two rays is a way of saying, even from a long way back, even from the back of the church. You may not be able to see Jesus' face, but you can see those rays coming out from his heart. It's kind of like Jesus being proactive again, saying, "I am peace be with you, peace I'm giving you, my peace I give you, and I'm here to bring you mercy." Just a tremendously powerful act of grace that we celebrate on this Divine Mercy Sunday. And it just makes sense that the very end of the Gospel, right after that beginning part, the next thing that Jesus says to his disciples, he says, "Peace be with you. I'm bringing you mercy. I want you to change your life. And I want you people, you disciples, to be the people who forgive sins, the sacrament of confession. Now that you have received mercy and you understand what it means to have a changed life, I want you to be the one to bring that mercy to people in confession." And that's what happens in confession. We don't get mad at anybody. We don't yell at anybody. We're not interested in punishing anyone. We simply say, "You've confessed this sin. Now move on with a new and different life." And you will find that same happiness, that same profound joy that the disciples found inside that locked room when Jesus came and said, "Peace be with you. I'm bringing you love and peace.